And it is 1:33. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our coverage, our programming rather, this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard the state had seen an additional 274 cases for a total of 13,191. Now we go live to Governor Hutchinson.
For today's COVID-19 update, I am pleased to be joined by the traveling Dr. Nate Smith. Thank you for joining us today. Our Secretary of Health, Dr. Romero, is here from the Department of Health as well. And we have today Rachel Bunch, who is the Executive Director and CEO of the Arkansas Healthcare Association, and then Jerry Sherem as well from DHS, Director of Provider Services. And they're here to join us for an important announcement today. Let me say I'm glad to be back in Little Rock. Yesterday I was in Hot Springs. We had a good visit there. And tomorrow we will be in Fort Smith. So it gives us an opportunity to see some of the different communities that's fighting COVID-19. Yesterday, we had 13,191 cases here in Arkansas. Today we have an additional 415 cases. That brings the total to 13,606. In terms of hospitalizations, we have an increase of 3 hospitalizations to 217. And in terms of deaths, we've had an increase of 6 to 197. In testing, we had in the last 24 hours 7,514 tests. That is a very good day in testing across the state, shows how we're expanding it. And then in the counties that we have the major cases, that we've had the greatest increase in cases, is Washington County with 90 cases, Benton County with 81, Lee County with 24, Pulaski with 21, and the rest are fewer than 20. Let's go to the graphs, the charts. And you can see, again, the height of over 700 that we had in one day. And since then, it's been down. We've been right at 400, as you can see from today, which is very similar to what it was in 2 previous days. We had yesterday at a lower level. I'm hopeful that tomorrow it'll go down. But as you recall, I did say that if we project 400 cases over the next week, that's adding 2,000 cases. And we have to be prepared for that, but that's even with a flat line. You go to the next rolling average, you can see our trend line. We went down, we're going back up just a tad. Hopefully that will show it's flattening out soon. And then the number of active cases in Arkansas, these are the ones that we're currently have to deal with, right at 4,400 and some active cases. Right now it's looking steady. We had a dip down, and that will fluctuate from day to day. And then if you see this is a new graph for you, and this is the 7-day rolling average of percent positive test in Arkansas. And I asked for this graph. I thought it'd be good to see the rolling average, which shows you the trend line for positive cases. Or the positivity of cases. And again, I've always talked about that 10% mark that has been set as a goal to get below that by CDC. And you can see that our orange line and the trend line has been flat. It's actually gone down a little bit the last couple of days, part of that because of all the testing we've done in our long-term care facilities that's had a very low percent of positivity. But that hopefully will continue on that trend line, and we might look at this from time to time. And then if you'll go to the next one, this shows you where we are in our tests for the month. We have continued to accelerate our testing. We're at 80,000, which puts us in a good position to meet our goal for June of 120,000 tests. And then if you'll go to the hold for that for a second. And this leads me to the announcement that I wanted to make today. And that is, I'm pleased to announce that we will be able to re-engage our visitation in our long-term care facilities effective July 1 is when that will begin. And let me just tell you what motivates us all in this effort. And I've had many letters from loved ones of that have had those they care about in long-term care facilities. And this one letter, dated June 7th, it says, "My mother, who is 87, lives at a particular long-term care facility in Fort Smith. She has been there 6 years and suffers from Alzheimer's. She, as well as my family, is suffering with a lockdown. I have only seen my mom once since February. She can't understand why we don't come to see her." And it just illustrates that there's a lot of additional risk besides COVID-19, and those risks can be emotional, they can be heart-rendering, and I want to applaud the Arkansas Healthcare Association and Rachel for their leadership, working with the Department of Health, as well as DHS, in coming up with some guidelines based upon the testing that we have that will allow this visitation back in our long-term care facilities. And so this visitation will be applicable to our long-term care facilities, including nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and residential care facilities within the Department of Human Services. And this just gives a couple of highlights of it. This will apply to facilities that have completed testing and meet the criteria outlined in the guidance from the Department of Health. So that's a must. Secondly, we have to remember that our begin date is July 1 for this visitation. There will be some facilities that will not be ready to start at that date, and so it's dependent upon the readiness of each facility, but hopefully most facilities will be ready to begin on July 1. Outdoor visits will be preferred, but indoor visits will be allowed for those residents who cannot be safely moved outside or when the weather is too hot. And then facilities will spend the coming weeks getting ready for this change and the visitation that will be coming, including putting scheduling systems in place so that visitors do not all inundate at one time. And then the end-of-life visits will continue. Visits will be scheduled in advance, and space will be sanitized between each visit. There'll be a minimum of 2 visitors per residence, and we'd ask that masks be worn. The guidance includes also expanding activities from beauty salons for residents and communal dining. And so those are some of the points that we wanted to emphasize that allows us, based upon the testing that's been done, so that we can bring loved ones together again, even though someone might be in a long-term care facility. And this is good news for Arkansas that have been so patient as we've gone through this pandemic. With this, I welcome back Dr. Smith and ask him for comments.
And this is Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health.
I'll give a few more details on the numbers and make a few additional comments. As the governor mentioned, we had 415 new cases from yesterday. 35 of those were in correctional facilities. So we have 380 community cases. Our total, as the governor said, is 13,606. Of those, 4,413 are active cases. Of those active cases, 147 are in nursing homes, 676 are in correctional facilities, so we have 3,590 active cases in the community. We have had 15 additional nursing home residents who have tested positive for a total of 543. We've had 3 additional nursing home staff, so our total there is 362. We've had net increase of 3 hospitalized. So we have 217, as the governor mentioned. Of those, 53 are on a ventilator. That's an increase of 5 from yesterday. As the governor mentioned, we've had 9 additional deaths, bringing our total to 197. For those who have recovered, we've had a total of 8,996 who have recovered. That's an increase of 331 from yesterday. The governor's already mentioned our top counties in terms of where cases have come from in the last 24 hours. He's also mentioned large number of tests that we did yesterday, over 7,500, and that puts us over two-thirds of our way to our goal of 120,000 tests for the month of June, and we're just barely halfway through. I wanted to also make a comment about the guidance for nursing home visitation. This is something we've worked very closely with Department of Human Services as well as the nursing homes themselves and their representatives. We've come up with some pretty strict criteria that are designed to keep our nursing homes safe from the spread of COVID-19, but allow that very, very important human interaction. And that guidance has taken a lot of work, and it's included input from our federal partners as well, CDC as well as CMS. And so we're looking forward to being able to implement that so that we can have some contact between families and their loved ones. The last thing I wanted to mention is our CDC team that has joined us in the northwest part of the state. They have been very active in their work. They are, this morning, have been meeting with members of the Marshallese community. They're beginning outreach to the Latino community today, and they've been doing a deeper analysis of our data. They've also met with a team from the Missouri Department of Health. We've had a coordination call with our partners there across the state lines as well. They are ramping up their testing in the southwest corner so that we have a unified approach there to bringing the COVID-19 outbreak in that part of our states under control. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And again, I wanted to introduce Rachel Bunch, who's done a great job in really working hard through this month in both the testing in our nursing home facilities, but also in helping to set the stage for this visitation. Rachel.
This is Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association.
Thank you, Governor. On behalf of the long-term care facilities in the state, we look forward to carefully reopening for visitation once our statewide testing and baseline are complete. Facilities who have negative results and meet the criteria will be able to open for visitors beginning on July 1st and schedule visits for the upcoming holiday weekend and beyond. It will take some time for all homes to meet this, and we'll do it individually as they meet that criteria and adjust their physical spaces, but we're dedicated to doing this carefully and adjusting as we go along. As the governor mentioned, we've worked closely with DHS and the Department of Health, Dr. Patil and his team. This couldn't have happened without all of them. Visitation won't look the same in our facilities. We are busy adapting and preparing all of these spaces and educating staff and communicating with family members about these new requirements, but we really look forward to seeing these visits happen in our homes. Our residents definitely most look forward to visits with their family and friends, communal dining with other residents who are friends, barber and beauty shops reopening within the facilities, and expanded activities. I'm really proud of the plan that we've put together, and we look forward to our long-term care facilities continuing to show Arkansas as a national leader. Thank you.
Jerry, come on.
This is Jerry Sherem, Director of Provider Services at the Arkansas Department of Human Services.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jerry Sherem. I'm the Director for DHS's Provider Services and Quality Assurance Division, which includes the Office of Long-Term Care. We regulate through the Office of Long-Term Care and other offices, long-term care facilities like nursing homes, assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, and intermediate care facilities such as the Human Development Centers. We've been working, as you've heard this afternoon, closely with the Department of Health and the industry to keep residents safe, including by way of working with the Department of Health on visitation restrictions, screening requirements, as well as assisting the Department of Health in other ways. We've also worked with the industry, and the industry has done a great job to care for their residents, to facilitate screening, testing, and making sure their residents are safe and cared for. The department has been focusing its work on infection control surveys and making sure facilities are compliant with those requirements. And that's all that happened in the last 3 months. Where we are now, we've got about 3 months worth of data that we've been looking at, of course, guided by the Department of Health and their experts. But we're seeing that only about a third of nursing homes have active cases. About 80% of those are in about 12% of facilities with those active cases, and only 5% of nursing home totals overall. Baseline testing is also indicating and showing strongly that our positive test rate is less than 1%, and that's for 14,000 tests that we've completed already. This data indicates that targeted public health measures and related interventions can work, and that we can treat facilities differently, perhaps, based on their circumstances, both facility by facility, but also by way of their facility types. Like I mentioned, the several different types of long-term care facilities, there are different populations, including those that serve exclusively children, as opposed to those that serve older folks. And all that indicates that we can begin, as the governor mentioned, to start the process of reopening in a measured and safe way. That's what we've all been focused on, facilities, Department of Health, and Department of Human Services, is making sure these residents are safe. So on a facility-by-facility basis, as the governor mentioned, and whenever that facility is ready, based on their given circumstances and their specific populations, which may have special needs, we will begin this process. It will include all the requirements that Dr. Smith mentioned, the governor mentioned, including ensuring that baseline testing is complete and all appropriate steps have been taken to address any issues identified there, that hospital and ICU capacity would meet the needs of that facility in the area, that there's appropriate staff, appropriate PPE, as well as visitor screening and strict requirements related to these activities and visitation efforts. And these go beyond those that currently exist for screening, so they're even more rigorous. This will include facilities operated by the Department of Human Services, including the Human Development Centers and the Arkansas Health Center. Going forward, you all can imagine, we will be monitoring this situation very, very closely, looking at the data, all the cases, and other information. Visitation and activities will be reduced or stopped if cases develop or other issues arise that warrant those measures. We will continue as the department our infection control measures. We will be increasing the frequency of surveys by the Office of Long-Term Care and other offices in my division. And in this, I just want to emphasize that we're in this together. It is incumbent upon everybody, especially those who go visit their family. It's going to be great to see them again. But make sure you follow those requirements, wearing the masks, following all the rules to make sure that we can keep all those residents safe. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Jerry. And with that, we'll have to take any questions.
Under the White House guidelines, the reopening the nursing homes to visitation doesn't come until phase three. So given that we're in phase two now, what's the reason that we're going ahead and allowing the visits?
Because we're ahead of schedule on our testing in terms of our Arkansas plan. We're doing the testing this month with a low rate and the need that's there. That's a decision that we made with our Department of Health and with our long-term care facilities. It's the right step for Arkansas, and it's the right time. I don't think whenever we have that low rate and we've had that success rate, it's time to take that step to re-engage visitation. Yes.
With what we're learning about asymptomatic cases and asymptomatic carriers, why do you feel comfortable letting people into nursing homes?
Well, because of what we've seen in our testing and the protocols that are in place. And so here you have visitors that will come. They will be screened. We'll have an established environment there. There'll be requirements for masks, so the safety protocols are in place. And it's something that obviously we understand that if one person comes in that doesn't follow those protocols and there's a positive test from that, then we have to take steps once again to start over in that facility. So You know, I think everybody understands what's at stake here and the importance of it. And Dr. Smith, did you want to add to that?
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Certainly. Yes, it's a bit difficult to summarize a 4 or 5 page guidance document in this setting, but when you take a look at the details, you'll see these involve the visitors coming in wearing masks, visiting in most cases not in the residents' rooms, and we've learned a lot of things from other settings. For example, in many work settings, even when there's an asymptomatically infected individual, when we've practiced physical distancing, wearing masks, etc., we've not seen secondary cases. So as they follow these guidelines that we have, they should allow visitors to come in. Even if we did have someone who is asymptomatically infected, still would not have a transmission or be very unlikely to have COVID-19 transmission if these guidelines are followed.
How useful is screening when so many people are asymptomatic?
Well, screening is very important because we want to screen out those who are symptomatic. Obviously, it won't catch those who are asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic, but we have other measures in place like wearing masks, in many cases meeting outside, maintaining physical distancing to reduce or eliminate the risk from asymptomatic transmission.
We did miss you here too, and here at the table we almost decided to vote you off the island as well, but we decided to keep you around still. But I was curious too as to what are we going to consider as too hot? What are some of those factors that we're looking at? Is it heat index, humidity? Is kind of what are we looking at in those terms?
In terms of
allowing residents out or not allowing them out because it's too hot?
Well, I think you know in the summertime here it may just be too hot or too unpleasant. You know, as the weather starts to cool in the fall, that might be a preferred option. But we've also required that they have a place to meet outside the patient's room if they are going to meet inside.
When do we have the guidelines ready to be printed?
We'll have those guidelines very soon. I believe I've seen the final version today, so I'm not aware of any reason why we wouldn't be putting those out today.
I guess, too, we're seeing some cases in Washington County and Benton County jails. Are we taking any proactive steps in those facilities to where we don't see something happen like we've seen at Cummins?
Yes, we are actually working with those facilities to proactively screen. Not exactly the same as we've done with the long-term care facilities, but a similar approach to proactively screen. Of course, if there are cases or symptomatic individuals, we will go in with a rapid response, but trying to move ahead to a more proactive approach. Hopefully, we'll be able to eventually cover all the jails in that way.
What does that look like beyond screening?
Talking about basically testing, testing those who are there in the jail as well as the staff.
Let's go remotely if there's a question.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask you about the City of Fayetteville. Like City Council last night approved an ordinance requiring masks to be worn in most indoor public places and businesses. I understand there may be some other cities looking at similar proposals. Wanted to see what you thought about that and whether do you support cities being able to do that? And also, if your thoughts on whether there should be a mandate statewide has changed at all?
In terms of the City of Fayetteville, the ordinance that I have seen, I know that the City Council and the Mayor is simply trying to enhance the wearing of masks for the citizens' protection and others, and to stop the spread. So I understand where their heart is. I would prefer that cities not take that step simply because we want to make sure that we educate people, they exercise self-discipline, that they take their own responsibility, and through that education, the example of leaders, follow the right health protocols. That's the preference. That's the direction that we've gone as a state. And I would discourage other cities from stepping out there. And there is some conflict between what the city of Fayetteville did and the executive orders that we've issued. Is there another question remotely?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil down in Hot Springs. In the early days of the pandemic with the outbreak at Cummins, you said then, as I recall, that the inmates are still citizens of Arkansas and the state is responsible for them and they deserve the proper medical care. I'm sure you've seen by now that New Yorker article that I'm referencing when I asked you this. It looks like from that article what was happening and what you said should be happening were quite a bit different. Does it cause you to want to consider an investigation of what the corrections department was doing, and if so, who would handle that?
Well, in terms of the New Yorker article, they did not reach out to my office. They did not ask for a response from my office or a comment from me. They did submit 60 questions to the Department of Corrections, which they answered, and Department of Corrections pointed out that there were a number of inaccurate assertions, and they did not use all the information that was provided by the Department of Corrections. It was clearly an article that was designed to paint the penal system in Arkansas as something out of the 60s. They did not recognize many of the reform efforts that we've put into place. So that's just part of the New Yorker magazine. But in terms of where we are, we've had Dexter Payne here, the director of Department of Corrections. He has answered questions. We have answered questions on there. The Department of Health has put in enormous resources there. We have medical care that's provided there. I'm sure we make mistakes along the way because we learn about this pandemic day after day. But I know they've worked very, very hard to keep the inmates safe, to help them to get recovered, and that will continue to be our objective and goal because they are Arkansas citizens and we have a responsibility there. There was a lady that asked a question, I think.
Yes, Governor, thank you. Jacqueline Froelich with KUAF Public Radio. I wish I had a deeper voice. That might help. But I wanted to ask you if other municipalities, and I'm aware of one other, are expected to enact emergency mask ordinances, would you consider taking legal action to blunt such activity?
Well, I would expect and ask them to coordinate with our office so we can see what's in conflict with the direction that we're going. Versus just stepping out there. And what you don't want to see is 50 different municipal ordinances all providing different directions and requirements or penalties in reference to wearing of masks. That's not what we want in Arkansas, and that's not what's helpful to business or us to get to where that we need. And again, we have some very strong guidelines that we've set in every, whether it's indoor venues or outdoor venues, or whether it is in restaurants or other facilities, we have either required or strongly suggested wearing of masks. Those are guidelines that we have. I don't believe that we ought to get into penalizing citizens or get into a punitive form of trying to have everybody wear masks. I want Arkansas to understand the importance of it when they can't socially distance, and everybody in this room knows how I've emphasized that every day. It's not something that we've neglected, and we've set an example, and I think that that's the right course for us. Dr. Smith, did you want to add to any of these? We'll take one more question here. Yes, ma'am.
So I've been had clinicians reach out to me and say that they've had patients that have been not contacted at all by contact tracing, or that it was taking 4 and 5 days for them to be contacted. Dr. Smith, can you tell me how far behind we are in contact tracing, And last week I asked you for a percentage of people that had been contacted by our contact tracers, and I still don't have that number.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
In terms of the latter part of your question, it's not that we want to be evasive in any way. We just, how you ask that question specifically, because it's a rolling target. Every day we have new cases added, and some are contacted right away. You know, as you can imagine, when you're trying to call people up, some people you may not be able to get a hold of. I mean, I've had people trying to get a hold of me for other reasons. If I don't recognize the number, I don't necessarily answer it. So in some of the cases that you're mentioning in the first part of your question, we would need to really look at the specific circumstance, because it may not be that they were behind. It may be that their call went unanswered, or they had a number that wasn't a good number or whatever. In terms of how far behind we are, that really I would need more specifics to answer that question. We are trying to reach everyone as quickly as they come in. Some we reach right away, and others take longer, but some of those is not just a manpower issue. It's difficult to get a hold of people these days through the phone.
Are you guys not tracking internally to measure your performance?
We are. But we're not. We're looking at 5 days out, because we understand that it does take a while to get a hold of people.
So can you share those percentages then for 5 days out?
Certainly, and we actually do a report once a week, a quality improvement or quality assessment report. We can share that with you as well.
Yes, Dr.
Cam Patterson said today that they're concerned about the healthcare system's capacity and their ability to accommodate patients by September. And he says that he's strongly advocating with you for more substantial policy measures like masks and social distancing. So what's your response to that, and are you open to that?
Well, Dr. Patterson and I think we talked over the weekend. We talk fairly regularly about this, about hospital capacity primarily, and we feel comfortable where we are in our capacity. I talk to Northwest Arkansas, which is the pressure point now, and I talk regularly to the hospitals there, and we monitor that. So we watch that in terms of what action we take. We've stated our position. We've got our guidelines out there. We are advocating wearing masks every day, and ask the Arkansas citizens to do that. Particularly whenever you cannot socially distance. Jay?
You've got that RFQ out for a contract for contact tracers. Mouthful. When do you want to have that sort of in place by, to have that contracted out to kind of help those guys out?
The timeline that we're looking at for issuing that is right after the 1st of July. Of course, it'll take the contractor a little bit of time to set up the resources, but we've expedited that, and we've accelerated those deadlines. That's in a normal procurement process, so we can get it done quicker.
Is there like a number that we're looking at, like how many that'll be part of this?
Do you know the answer to that, Nurse Smith?
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Yes. We have 350 DIS, disease intervention specialists, also nurses and supervisors, informatics individuals. But the short answer is 350, and also we'll add to that the folks that are currently working on contact tracing and hoping to continue to add volunteers.
Is that 350 total, or is that 350 being added into?
Being added.
Yes.
I have one for you, Governor. So you mentioned that there were inaccuracies in the Cummins article. What were those actual inaccuracies? What were the facts that were incorrect in that article?
I'd be happy to show you the 60 responses from the Department of Corrections that was asked, and I think you can see that many of those were not in there. Part of it is just simply that it's really not a complete story as to what is happening in our prison system and the efforts that were being made. One last question.
Just to follow up on the Fayetteville ordinance, you said that there is a conflict there between what they did and your emergency order. So are you planning on taking any action to get them to rescind that or overrule it somehow?
Well, of course, any citizen could take action if they felt like that was necessary or thought they were aggrieved, but I don't anticipate state action at this time. Again, I know the intent of it, and I know they've got a growing number of cases, so I don't intend to interfere with that. If it becomes more of a problem across the state and in different instances of municipalities taking action, we'll re-examine that, because we want to have a coordinated approach. We don't want to have a hodgepodge of different types of ordinances across the state. That's then been the objective of our directives, and we'll continue to look at our own directives and to see if there's ways that we can strengthen the messaging that we have to our Kansans that this is important. And in fact, later on, I want to just sort of review again for Arkansas the strategy that we have in place. It's not complicated, it's simple, but it works. And that is the social distancing, the mask, the contact tracing, the follow-up, the isolation. And these are important to remember that whenever we do these things and we do them right and we do them together as a state, then we can actually have success in reducing the spread and also continuing our economic activities and our education and life. And that's the spirit of Arkansas right now and what people want to see done. Thank you very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of the numbers we heard today. There was an additional 415 cases of the coronavirus identified over the past 24 hours. That brought the total number of people to ever test positive for the COVID-19 virus to 13,606 here in Arkansas. We have seen an additional 9 Arkansans who have died from COVID-19. That brings the state's death toll just under 200 to 197 Arkansans who have succumbed to that disease. Currently, we have 4,413 active cases of COVID-19. Of those, 147 are residents of nursing homes, 676 are inmates of correctional facilities in the state, and 3,590 are just members of the general public. And we also have an additional 3 Arkansans that have been hospitalized with COVID-19 for a total of 217, 53 of whom are on a ventilator. And the big announcement today from Governor Asa Hutchinson, beginning on July 1st, nursing homes, long-term care facilities, assisted living facilities in Arkansas will resume in-person visitation, of course, with some restrictions. There has to be a minimum of 2 visitors per resident. Visits must be scheduled. Visits will be preferred to be outside. Everyone must wear masks, maintain social distancing. And this will only be applicable for facilities that have completed the requisite testing by the state health department. Of course, the health department's goal for the month of June here to test every resident and every employee of all nursing homes and long-term care facilities in Arkansas. So facilities that have completed that testing will be able to start accepting visitors again on July 1st. Some questions about that, as that is part of phase 3 of the Trump administration's Opening Up America Again plan. Arkansas, of course, entered phase 2 earlier this week on Monday. But Governor Hutchinson saying because of the increase in testing and the trend lines that he has seen, he believes that it is the right time now to resume allowing visitation in the state's nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and assisted living facilities. Again, you've been listening to the governor's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR. Tune in this afternoon to All Things Considered for more in-depth rundown of what we heard and, of course, other stories here that are important to us here in Arkansas. And again, tune in tomorrow morning during Morning Edition for another recap of the state of the coronavirus pandemic as it relates to us here in the Natural State. Thanks for listening. This is KYR News.